Hey, welcome everybody. It's a special Christmas Eve commute if you decide to download this. As we watch stuff number 164, I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid, who I just woke up. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying early Christmas Eve before I go to work. So it's just been a kind of busy work week. Nine out of 10 days, basically, I've been working.
Hey, wait,
going to work.
This just occurred to me. You have to work.
Yeah, Christmas Eve and Christmas.
But no, so you're not part of the government shutdown then?
No, that's just partial. It doesn't affect us. Yeah, and oh, even
sorry.
When it's even when it's been a full one, we still like I'm essential personnel. So when we had the whole full shutdowns with furloughs and stuff, we still open like we're 24/7, so we can't close. And we still got paid. So I've always been exempt during those times. But I'm lucky. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I was talking to my dad about this. You know, the usual Christmas get-together with parents and stuff. And they were talking about TSA having to work. And first, no sympathy for those people. And then two, I'm like, you know, if TSA wasn't there, nothing would change. So, okay, give them the day off. Then he was like, well, the air traffic controllers wouldn't work either. I was like, then shut down all the airlines, and then maybe people would actually, you know, kind of wake up and get mad about something for a change. But but then it'd still be split, so I don't know if it would actually matter at all. So, anyways, let's not get into that. So, the two of us saw one movie last week, one of us saw another one, and I plan on seeing this other one. So, let's start, if you don't mind, let's start with Bumblebee, because you saw it, I did not, and then we can get into the mutual one. And I will say, this is not going to contain spoilers, because I want to see the movie still. So, just so everyone, you know, don't get too worried or anything.
Yeah, so I got to see Bumblebee. I actually saw both movies in the same day. I saw Bumblebee first, and I remember seeing all the previews. Like, we were both talking about the previews, and at first when we heard about it, we weren't, like, interested because, like, I don't know. Like, even, like, I like Transformers more than you, but by, like, the last one, I was kind of, like, burnt out. Like, nah, I've had enough Transformers. And then when you see the previews and you hear about it, I was like, oh, this looks very intriguing. You see more and more of the footage, and it's like, this reminds me of, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you get cautiously optimistic more and more. You hear John Cena's in it playing one of the villains. You hear Angela Bassett's in it. Like, the more you hear about it, it's like, and the more you see about it, it's like, okay, like, I'm on board. So I see the movie, so it's not going to be spoilers. And the way I described it to you is kind of like, if 80s version Steven Spielberg directed Transformers, it would look like this, for better or worse.
So, all right, so from the preview, all the designs look like the toys.
Mm-hmm.
Does that hold through the whole thing?
Yes. That's exactly. Yes. It's kind of like, and it's funny, I remember Michael Bay saying the reason why he didn't go that route, because he said it wouldn't look right, and we didn't have any way of reference because CGI was different back when he started. So it's kind of like, well, we don't know if he's right or wrong because we don't know enough. And it's kind of like, that was one of the main biggest complaints about Transformer design. It's kind of like, it was fine when it wasn't moving, but too many times you can tell who was what because everything kind of like a mess.
Yeah.
And the excuse was, well, you know, this is kind of like, this is hard to do. This is the first time somebody's doing it. It costs a lot of money. So it's like, well, I mean, yeah, like it's kind of like, you know, you don't know enough to know if it's the truth. Like, part of it was the truth. So it's kind of like you kind of give leeway. But then you see it now, and it just makes those movies look like trash. Because it's kind of like, you know exactly what everybody looks like. Like, if you, Soundwave looks exactly like Soundwave. Shockwave looks like Shockwave. Like, you know, like everybody that's recognizable, you can see him. And if you know the Transformers, like, oh, that's such and such. Like, so, you don't have to guess.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I think they used the original voices. It definitely sounded like the original voices from the cartoon. So it's kind of like, oh, I know who this is. And that makes a world of difference.
Yes.
Just knowing, like, the Transformers look like the Transformers. The sound is the same sound. And it looked like, well, spoiler, like the first 3-4 minutes happens on Cybertron. And it makes you wonder how a whole movie like that would look. Because it's just like, awesome. And it's like, if they had did this movie first, if this is like the first Transformer movie, I wonder how Transformers would look now. I kept going back to, like, you know, this is how it should have been done.
Okay, I'm just looking up the totals, like, for budget and that.
Oh, the budget was smaller than the other ones. Like, it's kind of going to be like one of those slow burners where it didn't make as much as the other ones, but it didn't cost as much. And at the same time, it came out during a busy time frame anyway. So they'll probably make enough to warrant sequels. It's going to be one of those slow burner things.
And also, has it come out anywhere else?
Yeah, but not in China. China doesn't come out until January. And that's China normally is normally its big money maker. Another thing about the movie is, and I think this was the biggest issue with Michael Bay's movies, are he shouldn't be making movies for kids.
No, he never should have. He doesn't make movies for kids.
Yes, and that's the problem. Like, Transformers, I know a lot of people, you know, we're all adults. We like it from nostalgia, and a lot of us read the comics. At the basis of it, it's still like a kid's property. And his was kind of like, his style of movies and his tone works with like young adult men. It does not work with like kids or teenagers. It's just too crass and too in your face. And it's just, that one always kind of bothered me, especially bothered me now seeing this one. Cause like it's funny where if you saw the previews, you would think of it kind of like an action movie. Mm-hmm. But it's really not an action movie. It's more like it's like E.T. with action, almost, if that's the best way to describe it. Like, it has action scenes. It's not necessarily an action movie. It's more like a family movie. Like, it's without – I made a joke to you. This is the first Transformer movie I've been to where people were crying in the movie.
All right, so I guess it's got that much of an emotional punch. That's why?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Like, it's real. Like, they spent a lot of time kind of building up the whole relationship with Bumblebee and the girl Charlie, like Haley Stanfield, because, you know, her dad died. She's trying to get over that. And he's trying to, you know, get back from where he was. It's hard talking about without spoilers. It's been a lot of time kind of building up both of those characters to the point where it's some like real heavy stuff in there. Like, surprisingly heavy for a Transformers movie, to be perfectly honest. That was kind of like surprised. But it kind of pays off, so when the action happens, the action counts. You always know what's going on when the action scenes happen. It's not like, what's this, who's that? Like, everything is kind of like, is coherent, and that's kind of important because a lot of times it's kind of hard to do. John Cena is perfect as like an 80s villain.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask, is how he was, because it started off, well, they didn't show him. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm sorry, they didn't have him speak at all. It was just him looking like old badass John Cena, not this old man that he looks like now. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. He's a military dude, badass, you know, probably the guy that's going to cause all the problems. And then they showed some of him talking, and it was kind of jokey. He's like, well, they're called Decepticons. It's in the name. And I was like,
It fits. Okay. That's the thing. Because it's like it's an 80s movie, and it feels like an 80s movie, but not in like a cynical 80s way. It feels like this is a movie based in the 80s with, you know, 80s stereotypes, for better or worse, and 80s sensibilities. Like, it just fits. He's playing that purposely. Like, it seemed kind of cartoony, over the top, but it fits the movie. Like, that line is hilarious. It gets lines, because that's the first time, like, I was talking, I was like, yeah, it doesn't sound weird that there's this group called Decepticons. So I'm talking about, we like Decepticon peacekeepers on a mission of mercy, and it's like, that name, like, you hear that name, right? You hear what they're trying to do, and everybody's kind of like skeptical, but still going on with it. No, he's real good. He definitely fits the role in the movie. And it's funny, Darlene's like, I know you told me he wasn't a Marine. He looks like one. His face, I don't know what it is about his head or his face. He just looks like he, like, military. He all, like, especially in this movie, like, it's just a square head, and he's stern and everything. But it definitely fits. He has some good lines. He has, like, you know, they build a story for him, like, why he is the way he is, because the beginning of the movie, he's one way, and then something happens, then he changes for the rest of the movie up until the end, and it kind of makes sense. I definitely, you know, like, it was, how long was the movie, maybe 2 hours? It didn't feel long. Yeah, it's not too long. It doesn't drag out. It definitely, it's kind of like the reverse of Aquaman, where they take its time with a lot of stuff. Yeah. So the stuff kind of pays off at the end, where it's like, it's real. It has a real, what's the best way to put it? It's not drawn out, but it's kind of like, it's slow with its pace is kind of like tempered on purpose. Like, it's moving at a measured pace to build things up. So when stuff happens, it means stuff.
All right.
And then it kind of like, you know, like has its things, it ends, and it does in a way where it could kind of be, because they say it's like a prequel slash reboot. It kind of has its cake and eat it too, because it ends a way where it could be a prequel to like the first transfer with Shia LaBeouf, like the way how it ends. But at the same time, stuff happened that contradicts that Transformers. So it's kind of like you can go which way you want to go. I would prefer they go this way, because it's like Travis Knight definitely knew what he was doing with this movie. And it's rumors that he might do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This would definitely help, like, as far as like a resume toward that, if they want to go that route. So if they want to do future Transformers movies with this, they definitely could, because this was like the best Transformer movie by a lot. Like, it's not good for a Transformers movie. It's good, period. Like, okay. it's just a good movie. And it's funny, I was thinking about you. I was kind of like, part of me thought you would enjoy it, but part of me thought you would. It's kind of like the stuff that you like, it's a lot of that in there that you would like. But I know how you are with like family stuff, and you probably might like be like, nah, like roll your eyes at. So it's kind of like, it's a good movie, but I don't know if it's part of it that you probably wouldn't like, yeah, just based on what type of movies you like or don't like. But see, I would definitely recommend it.
See, I don't mind the family stuff. I don't even mind like the kid stuff. As long as it's genuine. And that's why I immediately asked you which Spielberg. Because I have not seen Ready Player One. I started it and just went, I don't want to watch this. And not that it was bad or anything, I wasn't in the mood. And now it's on, so I recorded it, so I can try and watch it, along with a million other things. And the classic Spielberg is still Jurassic Park Lost World, where Jeff Goldblum has that stupid kid for no reason, and she suddenly does a gymnastics routine in the middle of them hunting down, or being hunted by dinosaurs. Oh. And it's like that forced upon stuff that he does now. And I know that was, God, that's got to be almost 15 years ago now, or over 15.
Yeah, it's more like 20. That's more like 25 years ago.
Jesus, that's crazy to think about, actually. But, you know, just stuff like that. But, as long as it makes sense, and it's not, like, overbearing. And also, kid actors are always essential for that stuff, which is a no-brainer, obviously.
And I will say this, Hailee Steinfeld is a lot more likable and does a more believable job than Shia was in the first three, and Mark Wahlberg was in the last two, because it's kind of like, it just, because him was just kind of like, it's funny where Transformers 1, the first one with Shia, was kind of like, you know, a boy finding his car and that whole connection, stuff like that, but he is just, his energy was just too manic and screechy. It was just like, he had too many Red Bulls, where it was just like, you got to a point like, shut up. And with her, it kind of feels more genuine. Maybe because she's younger than he was when he started it. Maybe she has more, like, she... It's funny, they were both child actors that became adult actors. She might just be a better actor. Like, he's a good actor. She might just be better for this role than he was in this one. And then it's like, it's a lot of, like, extra weight, because it's not just, like, a spunky little girl. It's kind of like a girl dealing with pain, trying to, like, work it out and stuff. I'm going to do one spoiler. It doesn't mess up the movie. It's funny, the way they play Transformers is almost leaves like Decepticons help create the internet. And when you watch it, you know exactly why it makes sense. And it's funny because it's like John Cena is like the villain, but he's also the voice of reason, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not villainous. He's just an antagonist.
Okay, so, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Angela Bassett is like the villain. And I would never thought I would come today like, yeah, Angela Bassett's the main villain in the Transformers movie. That has like 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, it's like I said, Anthony Hopkins was in one. And we've talked about it before, but like having any of these big name actors, and Angela Bassett is still a big name, but having anybody where you go, what?
But it's funny, like, you, I think about that. Like, Michael Bay was real good about getting great actors in his movies, like elevating stuff. And since, and ever since, he started doing that when The Rock came out. Like, you know, because it had Ed Harris and William Forsythe and Robert Morris and Michael Biehn. Like, I'm just going to throw stuff. And then even Transformers, like the first one, you know, I get John Voight as the Secretary of Defense. You had John Turturro in there. Francis McDormand showing up. Leonard Nimoy's been a villain. Like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, Anthony, I'm just going to throw names and just fit there. But it's just still weird because it's like, it's Angela Bassett. She's playing, and it's not like she's playing a character. Like, I can see if, like, Angela Bassett, you know, directed the CIA, or Angela Bassett, National Security Advisor, or, like, Angela Bassett, like, what she was in those Olympus Has Fallen movies when she was working in the White House. Angela Bassett, Decepticon, still just seems, like, weird. But it's funny where, like, you recognize her voice. She plays, like, she's not, she doesn't seem like she's just there to pick up a check. Like, she seems like she's enjoying herself and doing the role. So, kudos to them. And Justin Theroux, because he's also in there, too. Like, everybody in there didn't feel like, you know, I'm just above the movie, or I'm just here, like, I got to pay some bills. It's like, I mean, I'm actually enjoying this.
Okay, good. That gives me hope, then. So, because, like I said, I had, when they mentioned Bumblebee, I was like, whatever, enough. And then they showed that first preview, dude, and it was like, this is crazy. And then they showed the Autobots and Decepticons, and looked just like the figures. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, they're not sucking me back into these. Because I haven't seen a Transformers movie in the theater since what was supposed to be the last one. It was Shia LaBeouf's last one.
Okay.
And that monster of a movie that took forever.
And they made two since then.
Yeah. And I've seen...
Or this one.
Yeah, and I was actually going to watch the other one until you said how bad it was.
No. As big as Transformers fan, I'm like, only see that if, like, is you high or drunk or you just want to see a train wreck. Because even that one, I couldn't recommend, like, watching that unless I'm just super bored. No, it's kind of like they... Two quick things, we move on. It's like, one... They make Optimus Prime look like such a badass in a short time frame. Like, he's on there for like a minute and a half, and it's like, you can see a whole, it's just something about Optimus Prime and that voice that just fits. Like, he's always just been like a hero, and it's like, they make him look like basically Superman / Batman. And he's not even there that much. And two, I've always laughed like, how the series revolve around Bumblebee, because it's always been like, he's this adorable cute puppy that's like a ninja when he's fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, they always make him out to be like this super badass 80% of the time, and just this fumbling little 9-year-old the other 20%, and it somehow works. Like, because he's always been like one of the basically primary characters in the Transformers movies. Yes. And I'm like, why? At first I was like, that doesn't like it makes sense, but it is kind of like, you know, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. Like, he's the point of character where you have, you know, you have the reaction and like the relationship between a human and a robot. It's easy to do with Bumblebee, like some like Optimus Prime, and it's different because it's like a young boy, and it fits more with that. But then when they have him fight, it's like, yeah, he can flip over stuff. He's beating up. He's winning 2-on-1 fights with people 3 times this size, and it's always been this whole weird dichotomy, but it somehow worked, and the same thing happens in this one.
All right, well, I mean, Bumblebee was a huge part of the TV show too, because he was Optimus' secondhand man.
I mean, it was funny, like, he was always like interacting with like Spike and the other, like, he was always the one that interacted most with the humans, because, like, you know, Prime would do his thing and Ironhide try to talk him out of it. And then Bumblebee would get in trouble, and then, like, shenanigans happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, you mentioned Batman Superman, and now I can include myself in this one, finally. You know, we both saw Aquaman. Okay, for one, and I've been meaning to tell you this, I love when I see a movie before you. Mm-hmm. Because I will, like, dude, that movie was great, whatever. And you'll come back, glad you liked it. That's all you'll say. And then... I go, I bet that's what I do to him when he sees a movie first. So I went back through the messages, and yeah, that's pretty much the same thing. You're like, dude, it's really good, whatever else. I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to see it, whatever. And that's like the end of the conversation. there's no going further with it. I just got a kick out of that one. But anyways, yeah, I saw Aquaman on Thursday. You saw it Friday, hence why we're doing it today. And I loved it. I know people are complaining about it or saying, like, some of this is stupid. This doesn't make... I'm like, okay. I didn't care. Like, I couldn't put my finger on it until you pointed it out. And you said, it's not cynical, and it's just a superhero movie. And I think that's exactly what it was. Like, is Marvel movies try to be... And Batman, Superman, the Zack Snyder ones, try to be... They got cynicism to them, and they also try to make it resonate or have some sort of message or something like that. If you know, I can't think of the words. This one sort of did, but that was it. Just sort of. And then it was like, all right, yeah, we're going to travel to the center of the Earth where he's going to get his magic trident, and he's going to fight a giant monster. Did I mention it's in the center of the Earth? Just one more time. It's in the Earth's core. And you're like, not once did I question, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking a lot of stuff. It's like, one, you know what movie reminds me of? The first Captain America. As far as like tone. Because think about it. Captain America shouldn't have worked. Like that, a 1940 flag wave. And then like everything people thought about Captain America, like that's too corny. The origin story too corny. You can't do that in like this day and age. And it worked because it wasn't, it was like, it knew what it was and it embraced it. It wasn't cynical. And this Aquaman did the same thing. Like it's Aquaman. It's a guy that communicates with fish. Yeah. And James Wan is like, you know what? I remember you said it's kind of like he directed the movie. Like he felt like he wasn't going to ever get a chance. And I laughed when you said that. And then I saw, I'm like, he directed movies like, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Like, I got my 2 hours and change, and I'm going to use every damn second. Because it wasn't that the movie was long. It's like, there's a lot of stuff that they did in this movie. Like, a whole lot. And I was funny, we was leaving the movie with your Darlene. She's like, yeah, I'm going to have to see this again. Because it's like, I liked the movie a lot. It was just so much stuff going on. I'm like we broke down what happened. I'm like, why did he go here? I'm like, yeah, so they had to go to the Sahara Desert to find a map for the trident because that's where they found a clue. And then they went there. So then they realized they had to go to Sicily because that's where the map told them. And then they go to Sicily. Then they find out that they put the bottle in the statue that they got to go to this island in the middle of nowhere. And then they go there. And then they fight these monsters. Then they got to go to the center of the Earth to such and such to do this, to find a trident. Oh, yeah, there's his mom. And then they fight the monster and then get the trident. And then they go back to team up with the crab people to fight everybody else because if they don't, then, such as Patrick Wilson will fight the people. Like, yeah, you break down the storylines, like it's like four or five different things going on at the same time, and they try to give weight to like all of them. And I'm like, yeah, this is a lot. Like, not in a bad way, just it's like it's a whole lot of stuff going on, but you don't really think about it because the movie's just so much fun and it looks so damn gorgeous. Like, that movie's just beautiful. You know, we can talk about how kind of like screenshot porn or like screensaver porn. Yeah. Aquaman definitely, like, he had his money and he used every cent of that $200 million to make it look as beautiful and as exciting as possible. It looked like a comic brought to life, like real, like how we talk about Spider-Man did it animated. This is how they did real life. It's like, you want to see Aquaman? You want to see him riding on a seahorse? You want to see Dolph Lundgren riding his thing and Owen Wilson on sharks with laser beams? here you go. Like you want to see this? Like, you want to see people riding crabs and you just want to see like a submarine just rise to the top so you can have a fight at the end with like six propellers for no reason? Like, yeah, this is what we're going to do because I think it looks cool.
Yes. And but that's what I was getting at. Like, it's got all that stuff involved. And then, like, Black Manta really didn't need to be in this. Because the purpose, maybe in the beginning, and then that's it. Just to set up, like, well, who was that? Or for the people who know, it's like, oh, okay. Just to give you, like, that seemingly I can't think how to say it, but like that put upon iconic moment of him pushing the submarine out of the water, just to show you how strong he really is. And then he comes back and he gets perfectly good Atlantean technology, and he tears it apart to build a helmet with laser on it. Like, huh?
He wanted to make it better.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was like, all right, who cares? We know it's Black Manta. You got to get there somehow. But it's like, all right, I don't know if that needed to be in there, but I was happy he was.
But you know what? It's funny you brought that up. It's kind of like, hey, one, it's kind of like you could have had the movie and him not being there, but he does a lot to like move the story. And especially at the end, like we'll get to the end later, it's kind of like, and they spent a lot of time building him up.
Yeah.
Like normally secondary villains don't get montages. Like, you know, the whole thing where he gets the equipment, he's breaking it down and testing it out and he's painting it. And it's not like it took a long time, like maybe a minute. It's like, they don't normally even get that. It's like, okay, you get a line or two. Like he gets his whole story. Like you find out who he is. You find out about his dad. It's like, you know, my granddad did this. He was in the Navy. He didn't get respect. So he became a pirate and his knife and all this. It's like, you get a lot of background to the bad guys. And you normally don't get that in these type of movies. And then you see the whole thing. He's fighting Aquaman. You know, he leaves the dad to die because, like, you know, you killed these people, you're on your own. And it's like, okay, this force is going to come back to bite him up in the behind. And then it's like he comes back with the submarine. And then he comes back again as hired to, like, kill him in Africa because Patrick Wilson can't do it. And then you think, okay, they have that fight. And that's a badass fight that happens. And then you see how he dies. And then he shows up at, you know, spoiler alert, he shows up at the end again with that doctor that apparently is from the comics. It's yes. Like, you know, you help me, I help you type thing. It's kind of like set up for the next movie. Mm-hmm. And this one character, like, they put enough weight in there so he's important, but he's not the main villain, but they give him like a whole storyline and like tragedy and like is everything. He's, you know, why he's doing what he's doing. It's like, yeah, you know, you killed my dad, I'm trying to get payback. Like, and they spend enough time showing why him and his dad, like why they're important to each other. And why he has the vengeance he's having. You see how badass he is. Like, that character design is, like, it's funny. Like, you would think it looked goofy, but on screen, it's like, he looks like a badass. Yes. Even with this big-ass, silly-ass helmet. And even the helmet makes sense. Like, you know, I got to make the helmet bigger because to contain this energy. And can we talk about the whole, just the insanity of it's this gun that uses water to make laser beams?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Just think about that.
That's part of the movie, though. You accept that or just leave the theater. I mean, it really is that way. So, you know, it is a fantasy. And I read something else, like James Wan wanted to make this a fantasy movie. And I think a lot of people were expecting, I don't know what a lot of people were expecting out of this. One, Aquaman had that bad name to it anyways, you know? But then, now it's just like, well, here, I'm going to give you something you didn't expect. So, yeah, a plasma gun, or I'm sorry, a water gun that now shoots plasma, laser, energy, whatever. Sure. Because I just saw a blue whale and a killer whale near the bottom of the ocean. So I'm not going to worry about it too much.
I mean, even the character is like, you trying to tell me this uses water and a plasma? And he had a smile like, this is like the coolest thing I ever heard. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Cool. And it goes back to the movie. It's kind of like, this reminds me of like 80s and 90s movies, like The Mummy. They were just fun. Like the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies, not the Tom Cruise. Like, you used to make these movies. And they weren't super cynical and they weren't like super self-aware. They just leaned into it and it was just fun. And that's what this was. And that's why it was funny when I was reading like a lot of reviews and like people, it's a lot of people like liked it and they couldn't admit it. Like it's something that, like they kept looking for something that wasn't there. Like almost like, you know, am I getting played? Like is somebody playing a joke on me? Cause I use an example. The first time Aquaman shows up and he goes in there and the guitar, they got the guitar riffs and he's standing there with no shirt and just smirking. It's like, but he plays like, yeah, it's corny, but it's cool. And And just to realize it's not an accident, it happens three times in the first 5 minutes. He's getting a fight scene, something happens, the guitar riffs, he does a punch. It's like, and you like, what? And you kind of like, your 2018 brain can't handle that. It's like, okay, you expect like him to look at the screen and do like some Deadpool stuff, like, you know, when is he going to break the fourth wall, be cynical? It's like, no. James Wan is like, I know exactly how this looks.
Yeah.
And I know that you know how this looks. And guess what? I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We gonna roll with it. Like, yes, it's Jason Momoa with no shirt on, drinking beers, winking at the kid, like, this smirking and smoldering, looking like a badass, riding a seahorse. Yes, it is. You know what you was getting when you bought this. So this is what I'm going to give you, strapping for 2 hours. Like, you should. Was anybody surprised the first time you see Nicole Kidman and she's eating a goldfish? Like, yeah, that's the type of movie we going to get.
I love the fact that Nicole Kidman's in it because she looked great. Mm-hmm. Like, she's done some goofy stuff to her face. Like, just that whole Hollywood gotta stay younger thing. But she looked gorgeous. So, one, kudos, man. I mean, she looked younger. We talked about it before, but this technology of de-aging people is getting real creepy. Because they de-aged his dad and mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dad looked a little off. Nicole Kidman is probably just makeup, really. He just caked the stuff on there. But they had to give him a wig. They had to take the wrinkles off and all that stuff. So...
yeah, it threw me off with him because I remember him from Phantom Menace.
Yes,
and he looked younger, and he looked younger in this than he did in then. And that movie came out a long time ago. I'm like, wait a second. I know they're doing, like, I didn't even think about the whole technology till you brought up to me. I'm like, I know they're doing something, but I couldn't put my friend, like, it's something that's looked weird because I know what he looks like. But it didn't sink in until you saw him present day and he looked his age. You're like, oh. Wow, we've come a long way with technology. But even, like, you know, you see her showing up and then that whole fish out of water thing, and it's like, it ain't nowhere in the world these two would ever, like, yeah, being like, but it's kind of like, you know, it's the first human being she sees and he's taking care of her. So love has come from stranger places than that. And then they have the whole thing, and then she gets her fight scene being a badass and doing that, then she leaves. And then that whole, every time he goes, every morning he goes to the doc to wait for her. That was just sad. But at least you knew it was going to kind of build up to stuff. But that's just like the nature of the movie where you see stuff like that. That's except you see Dolph Lundgren with his glorious hair just riding there. And I remember you said something like, when did Dolph Lundgren learn how to act? It's, yeah, like, he always could. No one just believed him. No one ever gave him a chance. It was like, okay, you're like 6'5", 6'6", and you look like a statue and you can fight. So that's all we're going to have you do. And it's like, you know, this man's smart as hell, right?
Yeah, that's, like, I know that's,
it's kind
a lot of, like,
it's kind of the joke. It's like, yeah, this man is like a borderline genius. Or probably, like, not even a borderline part. Like, this man is a genius. And he's never really got that. It's like the same thing with Van Damme. It's like, they never, somebody give him a chance. Like, oh, give him a chance to flex his acting muscles and he can do it. Because he was real good at kind of like, you know, kind of like the conflicted dad, a conflicted soldier. Like, you know, I don't really want to go to war, but I'm tired of getting pushed around. And then I got to deal with my daughter and everything like that and stuff. Like, and I didn't even realize, I forgot he was in the movie. And then when he popped up, I swear he was just going to be in there to die.
I thought the exact same thing. Because, all right, one problem I had, and it's kind of off to the side, but Patrick Wilson or Ocean Master or whatever, all of a sudden just decides, fuck it, I'm just going to start killing people. And I'm like, wait a minute, where did we miss the part where he just had control? It was like he just decided, I'm just going to attack everybody instead. Like the crab people, the fisherman people, all that.
I think he got enough. Yeah, I think it got to a point where he just had to get. Once he got enough people, it's on. Because it's kind of like, I don't need everybody. I just need enough to win. And it's like, okay, I got Dolph Lundgren. I got Digimon Hansu's fish army. Because that was him playing that voice for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I was very surprised they killed him. Because those guys were just cool looking.
So. Mm-hmm. Like, I have, like, basically, I got Dolph Lundgren, I got the fish army, this trench monsters, ain't worried about them. Yes. So once I beat the crab people, like, you won't be on my side. well, don't be on my side. I just got to kill you, and either you be on my army or get rid of you. Like, once that's done, then I can go ahead and do my whole thing. And Patrick Wilson, people, it's funny. People like, you know, I'm not sure if Patrick Wilson was typecast as an enemy. I'm like, I remember him in the A-Team, like him being this whole asshole. And then, like, yeah, Patrick Wilson, I know it's kind of like used to him being, like, the nice, concerned guy, like the Conjuring or Insidious, or him being Mr. Milquetoast McGee in Watchmen. But, yeah, he can play a villain when he wants because he's got the face for it, especially with that hair. He's got this whole, like, this arrogance. Like, it just makes me feel like it's something about his look. Like, he can be nice when he wants to be, but he can be a real dick. And he was kind of like, you know, because of you, my mom died, you goddamn mongrel. And this whole, and it's just funny seeing, like, him and Jason Momoa, because, like, in a different era, like, 15 years ago, they'd be reversed.
Yeah, like, probably, yeah.
Patrick Williams would be Aquaman, and Jason Momoa would be the villain, because, like, Jason Momoa would look all smoldering, like, that's Khal Drogo. He looks dangerous. Of course he'd be a villain. And now it's kind of like, it's funny where we've gone where their roles are basically, like, reversed, like, and it's kind of like, he's the villain, but he got a point, because you see all that garbage that's in the water and all this stuff, and it's like, you could kind of see where they coming from. It's like, you know, we try to mind our business and y'all pollute, y'all killing us off and polluting our house and everything like that. It's like, kiss my ass. Like, yeah, kiss my ass. We come like,
okay,
like,
so,
I couldn't feel too bad. Although that whole tidal wave with the battleship.
Yeah.
That definitely came out of nowhere. Like, they just driving in a truck and then you look there, you just see that. It's like, oh, where'd that come from?
Yeah, and then you find out it's the entire world, and now there's trash everywhere. And a lot of people are complaining about that scene because, one, it's always somebody's like, well, you know, comic book movies aren't sophisticated enough to deal with these themes. And it's like, he wasn't trying to deal with it. The point was, we threw it all in, and he's like, oh, here's your shit back. So, take it. And then, two, it's a goddamn Aquaman movie. Like, he's not supposed to sit there at the bottom of the ocean going, I wonder how I can make the people up above not put their trash in the water for 30 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't care what he's cooking on a fire underwater, pontificating on what he can do. It's like, shut up!
Punch shit underwater. Like, think about all the trash that was in there. It's like, this ain't something that just happened overnight. It's kind of like, I know I got mad when my neighbor had his ugly-ass fence. That was next to mine. I had to build a fence. So I can imagine if he dumped his trash, like if he dumped all his trash in my backyard, I ain't pontificating nothing. We fighting. So imagine you've been dealing with that on a worldwide scale for like generations. Yeah, it ain't time for talk was a long time ago. Yeah. Like that shit been gone. So I just laugh when that happened because it's kind of like, you know, you hear that on the news all the time. Islands made out of trash. And when people flush wet wipes in, because wet wipes don't dissolve, and they mess up the sewer system and create this big globs of trash and stuff like that, you hear about this all the time. So we all know this going on, and people just want to put their head in the sand. So now you see a movie where, you know, the trash comes back. It's like, oh, I don't like how this look. I'm sure fish don't like how look when they minding their business. Somebody, they get hit in the head with a damn soda can.
or the one, like, I knew they were going to show it eventually, but they show like some fish caught in the rings from like soda cans and that. Yeah, so
I mean, it happens. So stop doing it. Get over it. Yeah. So no, but it's kind of like it's part of like the whole thing. Like they just did so much stuff, and it's kind of like, you know, like I thought Dolph Lundgren's character was going to die. I swore Willem Dafoe. I saw Willem Dafoe character was definitely going to die because, like, okay, somebody got to die because they always die in these type of movies to, like, add, like, weight to it, but they didn't.
Right.
It's kind of like, that's like, well, I'm going to do that. These two, they're too cool. We may make sequels. And it's one thing I got to point out, and it didn't bother me, and maybe it's like either I didn't care or I just wasn't looking for it. And we've talked about the show. It's this real trend, like, people love to get on actors or actresses that's kind of like attractive that say, oh, you know, it was a good movie, you know, such and such can't act. Am I the only one that didn't have a problem with the acting in the movie? Because it never came up. Like, I noticed when it's like bad acting or don't fit.
Yeah.
It never came it never came across my mind on like Jason Momoa, he was fine in the movie. Like, he fit the role. He did what he's supposed to do. And so was Amber Heard. Like, they actually had chemistry together. She was fine. I'm like, so I get home. I'm like, oh, well, you know, it was a good movie. You know, it was too sucked. And I'm like, did I watch a different movie? Or y'all just don't like them because they pretty?
Well, all right. Let's be completely honest. That's probably part of it. The other part of it is people don't want to like DC movies. They just don't. And there's going to be something about everything. Like, there's... I saw somebody, and I try not to read reviews or other people's comments, because frankly, whatever. And someone said, they pointed out, somebody, or some critics were saying that it was, not critics and also just people in general, were saying that there were, some of it was just too unbelievable. And some of it was just stupid or didn't make sense or any of that stuff. And my thing is, all right, and one of the big problems was him riding a seahorse underwater. And then the other one was the octopus playing the drums, which I believe that is from Super Friends. There's a scene, I think it's Super Friends. Yeah, because they didn't do any of that goofy stuff with Justice League Unlimited. Well, either way, it's an ode to the old cartoons. And it was actually, was it a shark? Oh, anyways, it's an ode to the cartoons. So you have an animal playing the drums. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't see anyone complaining about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse when they're doing stupid... Well, not stupid. They're doing, like, fun stuff like that. And then also, Ant-Man, the entire point... Or the entire thing with Ant-Man is he shrunk down and rode around on ants. That's okay? But a dude riding around on a seahorse isn't? It's like, this is where it becomes blatantly... Just blatantly obvious. They're going to critique... They're going to criticize these movies because they just don't want to like a DC movie.
It's funny that comes up because it's a lot of that, but then you have the opposite where it's like, you know, oh, look at Aquaman. It embraced the comic. It actually embraced the comic, unlike Marvel. And I'm like, shut. Did we not see Infinity War and Thor, Ragnarok, and Black Panther? Was those not things? Like, shut up. Like, just... And I hate when they get this whole DC versus Marvel thing. Like, you got both. If they're good, they're good. If they're bad, they're bad. And bottom line is, Marvel has made consistently more good movies than DC. But when DC does something good, they gonna get appreciated. It just takes had more skepticism because they've had so many bad ones. Like, this was a good, fun movie. Like, it was period. It was a good, fun comic movie. Like, and it wasn't trying to be cynical. It wasn't trying to be self-aware. It was just like, you know, people talking about, they asked him about that Pitbull song that was playing, like that remix to Africa when they flying over there. They're like, why'd you put that in there? Cause I know it was goofy and it fit the scene. Like, James Bond ain't a dummy. Like, it was a ridiculous song. That's why I picked it. Like, he came out, like, somebody asked him, and I'm like, I heard, I was laughing. They're like, this song just seems like they used to do these like on 90s soundtracks. Like, this whole silly song that just shoehorn in to fit the movie. And it, like, they used to do stuff like that. They don't do anymore. But I'm like, it's funny. Like, people talk about Pitbull. He's catchy.
Yeah.
It's a reason why he's making all this money. Like, his songs are catchy. It might be as healthy as like a 5-gallon bottle of Mountain Dew, but you hear it, you start bobbing your head even if you don't want to. And the whole thing is like Aquaman and Mera in Africa jumping out of a plane in a desert with no parachutes. Ooh, huh? Like, that's kind of like, this is some Indiana Jones stuff. This is like, why? Because like, they went to like 5 different places. Why are they in Sicily so she could eat flowers? Because it's like, that fit the thing. And it's like, okay, because she was judging the surface world and she hadn't seen it. So she get to see there. It's like the whole fish out of water thing too. And it's like, it's fun. They had a lot of chemistry. I won't lie. When they had that kiss underwater and slow-mo and everything swirling around them with explosions and stuff, I'm like, I should not be enjoying the scene like I'm enjoying it. Because it just seems so damn cheesy. But it's earnest. And if it's something to be said about doing something like earnest and doing it right. Because like when you're not, especially with comic movies, that's the thing that throw people off. It's still people that feel embarrassed by doing these things, even though we should be past that by now. Because it's still trying to be. And I blame Christopher Nolan. Not that's his fault. Him trying to make Batman realistic just made everybody look at movies like, okay, we got to have all of them seem slightly realistic. No, you don't. You do not. You can't make Aquaman realistic. It's Aquaman. He's riding on a seahorse.
Yeah.
Like that last battle when he's riding on that Kraken monster, eyes all glowing with a trident. Like it ain't no, it's no science that can describe that to make sense. Like you said, you know, somehow they went into a whirlpool and then they popped up in the center of the earth that has clouds.
Yes, and its own atmosphere.
Yeah.
An ecosystem and a, something that's a sun. I don't know, but it was light down there. So.
Yeah, and it's funny. I didn't even think about that even. Like, I like said it earlier, like, that don't look like this. I mean, that don't look like the center of Earth. But, I mean, it's Aquaman. We go for it. But it's not until you brought it up that I just rethought about that and just laughed. I'm like, this shit makes no sense. But none of the like, if you try to use real-world science and physics, you went to the wrong. You went to the wrong damn movie. It's Aquaman. And that's the whole thing. Like, he just wanted to do a movie that was fun. And it was fun. And people aren't, especially from DC, people aren't used to fun stuff. You know what else I noticed? They need to let these directors get their own scripts. Because the same thing happened with, like, Wonder Woman, that this, like, James Wan directed the hell out this movie, but he was not helped by his script. Like, at all. Like, it was a lot of this clunk. It ain't his fault. It's just, like, a lot of clunky stuff, and they just had to fit a lot in. But it wasn't really too much of an issue, because he's like, you know what? I might have four ingredients. I'm going to cook the shit out of this. Like, I'm a maximize my talent and do the best you can to the point where it wasn't even noticeable. I would love to see how the sequel would look. And this definitely has the best third act of any DC movie. Like, yeah, by far, because it's kind of like you get the big epic battle, and then you get the fight at the end. It's not like no big laser beam in the sky type thing. It's like you have the, you know, because you remember we saw the previews, like, okay, you seeing sharks eating crabs. It's like, I already know what type of movie. I mean, you get all that. That shit was epic, and it wasn't like messy either. You saw what stuff was going on and everything, and like that fight was just epic fight. But then you get the whole. Okay, I got to talk about the two fights, especially the first one. That whole first setup when he's just trash talking him, like, we're going to do the whole Ring of Fire thing. And it's funny how the contrast was, because Orm was all noble, like, you know, we're going to do it old school, based trial by combat, yada, yada, yada. And Aquaman, like, I'm just here to beat your ass. And it's like, Ring of Fire, like, what the hell? And then he rise up, you got the whole crowd there, and then they have this, like, the scorecards, like, you know, disadvantages, half breed or whatever they have for Aquaman, like, advantages, home field advantage, pure blood. Like, this is just so damn goofy.
You missed the best one for Aquaman, though. It was detractions or whatever it was, disadvantage, drunk. It said drunk at the bottom. That cracked me up. It's like, okay.
Oh, I definitely missed that.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is this. And then you got people playing a drum. You got this whole crowd. I'm like,
yeah.
This is like, this should not fit, but it fit. And that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, the whole history of land is like, we had technology back when y'all thought the earth was flat. We did too much. That's how it sunk. But then we used the technology. So, you know, some people evolved. Some people went backwards. It's like, it gave the whole background of Atlantis like 2 minutes. I had never even thought about the background of Atlantis. Like, where did that come from? Because it just never crossed my mind. And something like that's like, okay, that makes sense. And that's why the Trident is so important. Like, they did stuff where they didn't have. I think people complain all the time with, like, this whole, well, I didn't ask questions about it. But it's like, they didn't be like Matrix Reloaded, spend 20, 30 minutes on stuff. It's kind of like, this is why this is important. They tell you, they show you, and then they keep it moving. And that's it. And that's all they had to do. I think the thing was, everything, it was just so much stuff, and they tried to make everything matter. It's just not too much. It's just overwhelming, because you're not used to getting that.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to, like, there's so much in this movie that, like, honestly, the movie's over two and a half hours long, I think. Is that right? No, two hours and 19 minutes. And it really doesn't drag at all, but it's still like, damn, there is so much here. And that's why I keep saying he made this movie thinking there's never going to be another one. And because you got, really, the building love interest is fine, but they didn't have to, like, if you want to say, consummate that they, like, there's going to be a relationship, even though, you know, obviously we know that happens. But, like, him and Mira Fallon doesn't have to work. Black Manta really doesn't need to be in it. The mother, like, finding the mother, I guess, doesn't need to be. But it was like, and that's what I just enjoyed. It was like, I'm doing all of this. And if, like, it's a movie with no regrets. Okay, so it's a little bombastic. Okay, good. Just a little over the top. Even better. A lot of information. Sure. And then, at the same time, it takes you in a different place to where, when you think of Atlantis, whenever you think of Atlantis, don't you think of a bubble city at the bottom of the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't what it is. They're just outside. Okay, and it's in a second. But it's just people breathing underwater. Strong as hell, apparently. And I liked how it was like, well, how did that happen? Well, we fell in the ocean. Some of us survived and evolved. Some of us didn't. The end.
Yeah. No explanation. Or then it's like whole thing. It's like, you know, only royalty can breathe both underwater and above water. Because, like, okay, why does everyone else have helmets except for, like, you know, certain people? Then they, like, that's why. And it's like, oh, okay, that, like, that makes sense. Because you remember, think about it. You wonder why they always had the helmets on, and as soon as they broke the helmet, he was all choking.
Yeah.
But Mira needed a helmet, and Nicole Kidman needed the helmet. Like, they're royalty. And they said in the line, but if you missed the line, then you don't know. And it's like, oh, well, this inconsistent. Like, no, you just weren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people weren't. I think a lot of people went in there not paying attention. So when stuff happened and they missed it, and it's like, oh, well, you need to hold my hand. It's like, nah, we on a ride, baby. like ain't no take backs. Like, you got to catch it next time. And it was fun.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was. Like, Jason Momoa, like, he just, like, every time you seen him, like, promoting the movie, he was having a smile on his face. Like, he definitely seemed like he's enjoying doing Aquaman. And it's already made a boatload of money overseas anyway.
$410 million.
Mm-hmm.
Already. Whenever. So.
Yeah. So it's going to keep, you know, it did fine for, like, a holiday time, because, like, Christmas movies normally, besides that's not Star Wars, normally don't have big openings. And then it was competing with, like, Bumblebee and Mary Poppins that also did well. So, yeah, like, it's going to make it. It's funny thinking about that Aquaman and Wonder Woman are going to be the characters that's going to be, like, the linchpins for DC, because they don't know how to do Batman and Superman. Like, it's something hilarious. It's something ironic and hilarious about that. Just, and this, and the two reasons why is, and the reason why is because the directors wanted to, like, basically have fun. Because, like, that's, Wonder Woman is basically kind of like a movie where they sold the character and built the character up. Aquaman was a movie where they built the experience up.
Yeah.
And, well, they both worked in different, and they both worked for what it was. Like, they just were just fun.
And the thing is, all right, so it made Aquaman right now domestically $72,700,000. That's with Thursday to Sunday. Well, today a lot of people are going to go to the movies. Tomorrow a lot of people are going to go to the movies. So it's going to be real interesting to see how this does in the next few days. One, because it's long, and then two, you got Mary Poppins out there, which I don't think you and I have any interest in seeing. But that doesn't mean there's still not, like, that. For some people, a nostalgia part, and then also, you know, you got Bumblebee as well.
And so you still got Spider-Man. That's a lot of people still seeing that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you know. Obviously, we both like Aquaman. What else are we supposed to say? So Mary Poppins made $31 million over the week. All right. So over the weekend, Aquaman $67 million, which I don't know. I thought that was low. I expected more. But that's also, like, a fanboy in me. Like, oh, I figure everyone's going to see this.
No, I mean,
how everyone else thinks too. So
it's like December plays different as far as number wise.
And then Mary Poppins was second at 22. All right, whatever. Bumblebee only made 21.
That's what they thought they was gonna make.
Okay. But see, it's like with, and I know like there's obviously a Transformers fatigue. I don't think there's any way around that one.
Yeah.
So it's not, I still expected more. But
yeah, you know what? It's not just a Transformers fatigue. It's the fact that it came out in December and it came out with other stuff. That's why I always throw numbers off. It's like you have like three movies that people want to see. That's kind of like there are some. It's not complete overlaps. There are some overlaps between all three of them.
Oh yeah.
So it all came out at the same time. And Spider-Man just came out the week before, which also has overlap with that. So it's kind of like you got kind of like four movies that like good movies that people kind of want to see. And you got to kind of find time to see. It's the same thing happened last year when you had The Last Jedi, Jumanji, and Greatest Showman. And they all came out around the same time. And it was all kind of like a slight Star Wars made all the money beginning. But then Jumanji just blasted past it. And meanwhile, Greatest Showman was just out, just making money and making money and making money. And we talked about how, like, two of the movies were out for a long time for just making money. And that's how it is, like, winning. Like, it's not about how much you make at the beginning. Because, you know, like, if people like it, they'll get around to seeing it. Like, I saw Jumanji late. And even when I saw it late, it was, like, packed.
Yeah.
And it was still being sold out, like, 3 and 4 weeks after it came out. That's how it worked with like the winter movies, because like winter break and you know people be out of school and they don't go back till January, and there's nothing else that's really big coming out between now and like Glass and like January, like Holmes and I guess unless you count that Holmes and Watson thing. It's like
that's today, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it's coming out. I mean that's gonna do comedy thing, but like big like that, but like yeah, like it's nothing really else coming out between now and like mid-January, so this movie's gonna have a lot of time to like you know basically be themselves and like make money. And it was smart Fox move Battle Angel to February, because it got creamed if it came out now. Like
it's funny, like Elise is slowly coming around on like some of these movies. Like she's a little, she was saying she's a little burnt out on, I got some funny stuff with her, but she's a little burnt out on some of the stuff. And but then we went and saw Spider-Man, which she didn't want to see. She just went with me. She loved it. And then she saw Aquaman. She loved Aquaman. So it's like, okay, so I'm trying to figure out like what's the difference. And the thing is, I think these are fun. Because let's face it. Well, she really liked Infinity War. But let's look at this. The Marvel movies, Thor, she wasn't a big fan of Thor. But then you see the other stuff, and it's like, there's no fun to them. Like, I don't know. Like, Ant-Man, she was like, whatever. Which I think a lot of people like that anyways. But she loved these. And like I said, she saw Infinity War with me. She loved it. She really liked it, whatever she said. We're watching the previews. All of a sudden, Endgame comes up. And she goes, why is Iron Man in a spaceship? I turned and looked at her and I went, because he was stuck on a planet at the end. He's in the Guardian spaceship taking off. Where'd they go? And I just look. I'm like, do you remember the movie? I know I saw it. I'm like, so I go, all right, so we have to watch Infinity War before we go see this, apparently. And she's watching the whole thing. She goes, oh, okay. All right, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, you're turning my mind.
I mean, look, it's a lot of people like that. Yeah. It's kind of like, that's the whole thing. Like, comic fans do not realize. It's different because I'm, like, saying, but, like, Darlene watches all of them, but she keeps up with the basics, but she, like, it's just so much stuff going on, especially when you got like a life, and you know if your mind's not set up for it, you can't trying to keep up with every single detail and stuff is like that can be, if you aren't a fan of it, that can be real tedious, because it's like which one's which, like is this Marvel, is this DC, it's like oh Deadpool is it Marvel, it is Marvel, but it's not Marvel, it's Fox Marvel, what's that mean? It's like it can sound like gobbledygook, to be perfectly honest. And that's why I'm more forgiving when it comes to, like, so there's a lot of crap to keep up with. And it's like, yeah, especially like these many movies in. So it's good to have a movie like Aquaman where you didn't really even have to watch Justice League. You didn't have to watch any DC movie to, like, it would have helped a little bit, but beyond that, you wouldn't have had to watch them to know what's going on. It's like, oh, we know it's Aquaman, you do this. We heard you helped save the world like a year ago, yada, yada, yada. And it's funny where Justice League looks a lot funny because Mera and Aquaman meet up, but then this one's like, oh, I don't even know your name. So, what, in Justice League, they were just kind of like, I know of you. I heard about you. Like, they were having a conversation like they kind of knew each other, but not weren't really friendly. And they get to the point where I guess they really wasn't friendly. It's like, but then it's like, well, Aquaman don't really like Atlantis. They killed his mama. So he probably just like the hell with him. So that scene in Justice League looks a lot funnier now in hindsight, thinking about how they play off in Aquaman, where it's like, oh, they really wasn't like buddy like that. So it was like basically kiss my ass.
Yeah, James Wan really didn't care. And I don't blame him either. Like, I fully expect Wonder Woman to totally ignore Justice League as well.
Oh, Patty Jenkins didn't care either. She was like, because they made all, you know, my sword is red with the blood of my enemies and all that crap. And all that stuff, and like, yeah, no, they're like, we doing our own movies, like, we'll throw a line in here to match, you know, to fit the storyline, but yeah, our movies are doing well, your movies are struggling, so you need to work with us. Like, they both,
go ahead, sorry.
I said they both had an attitude, and I think that's the kind of attitude to go where, go with the success, and it's showing. DC works best when heroes get to be heroes, when they come off as like heroic and like you want to like them. And I know it's the idea, like, you know, Batman is Batman, but everybody don't have to be Batman. That's the problem. Like, Batman can be many things. Batman can be gritty. The other ones don't need to be. And most of them will not work being like that. So that's the biggest. Yeah, DC just made the wrong choice. That's basically like as far as who run the movies, and we've talked about before. And you can tell like how Transformers probably would have been a lot better if they just went this route first, like long term. Even though it's funny, think about that, how much money those movies made. But it's like you get to the point where it's like that name was almost a bad. Like you hear Transformers, your face frowns up, and even like. Michael Bay wasn't always looked at like this. Even when, because like people might have thought he was cheesy, but people like The Rock and Armageddon and Bad Boys 2, it wasn't until he started doing Transformers movies where like his reputation just really went in the toilet as far as that. And it's just funny thinking about that. Same thing with like these DC movies. Just have fun.
Yeah.
Just make and have the directors like us. Have them have more control of the script so they don't have to overcome that chunky stuff. Just let them, because I'm on the assumption that when they do the sequels to both Wonder Woman and Aquaman, they're gonna be a lot better, and a lot of it's gonna be control, because like, okay, you prove that you know what you're doing, you get to do what you want. Like, it's the reason why a lot of Marvel movies, the later ones, look better, because the directors have more control over their stuff. So yeah, like, I don't know about this whole Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey thing. I think it's gonna be good. I have no clue how they talking about it. It's gonna be rated R. That Joker one, we're just gonna end up seeing it, and just gonna be like, well, whatever happens.
Yeah, and I'm okay. I'm fine with that. And the Joker one's still out there. And if it's, I don't know, man. It's like if it's just what it is. Just a Joker movie has nothing to do with anything? Okay. I mean, that's fine. So, DC's just in a weird spot because they just fell out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
they're playing catch up.
Yeah. And this could have very well been different for DC if, you know, do something different, but
if they hired somebody to actually enjoy comics, it'd look a lot different.
Well, but it's also what you said, because remember, Christopher Nolan was also the executive producer.
He picked the wrong person.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and he did say in his commentary or whatever that the decision to have Superman kill at the end, which wasn't his decision, It was like, okay, cool. But that wasn't the main problem with the movie. So, you know, it's...
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of other stuff. We were trying to make it realistic. And I know the X-Men have these gigantic powers. You know, one controls the weather, for God's sake, and all this stuff. DC's got guys that can move planets. And now you see Aquaman. The middle of the Earth is its own environment. So it's like, all right, you can't make that realistic. There's a whole hidden world. There's a whole hidden island of Amazon women. You can't make that realistic. I mean, it doesn't work. So they're slowly, I guess, they're getting away from it, making it better, which I'm all for. And that was the thing with DC. Marvel was always the one that was grounded. DC was always the one that was the fantastical. And some people like it.
Just
think
about, just think about all the movies we've seen. And I was thinking about that watching Venom. The ones that embrace what it is and just try to have fun seem to be the most enjoyable. Because you can tell, you could tell within 5 to 10 minutes, okay, do they really like comics or they want to take their own thing? Because it's kind of like the Marvel movies, especially now, they're basically embracing the comics. Wonder Woman and Aquaman embracing the comics. The X-Men movies, they kind of like, no. When it was, what's his name? The guy that did King, what's the director name? The guy that did Kingsman and did First Class.
Oh, Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn.
Right.
He likes what he does. Bryan Singer is like, I don't like comics. I don't even care about that comic stuff. I just want to use this to tell my own story and whatever. And they were good in spite of him. Like, it's funny how many good X-Men movies he did considering how much he disliked the X-Men. Like, it's just hilarious how that happened. I think he lucked out as far as casting, because, having Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman probably cover up a whole lot of stuff, because they definitely lucked out having those two. But even, DC, Zack Snyder, I don't really think some movies be all that violent. Batman Begins, well, that violent. If I had my way, Bruce would have got raped. That'd be give him some real gravitas. You really want somebody like that running your franchise? That you thinking the Dark Knight was chicken shit as far as violence going? Like, no. Somebody that didn't raise a red flag. Like, seriously, maybe this shouldn't be I like 300 as much as anybody, but even then it's like that movie does not age well. And it's like, if you're doing something that's involving Superman, maybe you want to have somebody that has a more rosier outlook on life and not some guy with the mindset of imagine if the Marvel universe was being run by Michael Bay.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about technical prowess, because they're both technically great directors. I'm talking about the mindset they have, where they just market to the Xbox Call of Duty boy, the 18-year-old that's a toxic fan base that you can't, especially when it's someone Superman and Wonder Woman, Aquaman, no, you can't. And that's what they did, because this whole thing, if we're gonna have comics, we gotta it's still a shame. Stop being ashamed. If Robert Redford could be in a comic movie, then your punk ass need to put down your snark and direct this movie. Come on now. I would have thought that ship sailed when we started doing that. Morgan Freeman ain't respected. Tommy Lee Jones ain't come on now. You can get whoever you want. These people are doing these movies. They ain't gotta do these movies. A lot of them, we at the point now where it's nobody's just chasing some people I gotta pay stuff off. I'm sure Anthony Hopkins has finished paying his pool off now. So
that's one big ass pool.
We'll save that show for another time. The Hall of Fame for directors, for people that's taking a check, or AKA the Bruce Willis Hall of Fame. It'd be a good name for that. But no, it's people need to stop being embarrassed by liking comic movies. It's not just even the actors and directors. It's critics too.
Oh,
it's, yeah. You can tell how people talk about the movies I guess I liked it in spite of myself. And shut up. What are we even talking about?
And well, like, that's the thing. Like, if you go, if as a critic, you're supposed to go in blank slate. You don't go in with preconceived notions, or despite my better judgment, or this surprised me more than I thought. It's like, no. If you're out judging something, you have to go in empty-headed. But empty-headed. You go in and go, all right, I'm going to judge this on its merits of what I see, not of what I want it to be, or not of what I think it should be. That the critic game, bloggers have their place. Online reporting has its place now. It's just how it works. But at the same time, trained journalists should know better. You leave the snarky shit to the people that are online right now until, you know, they catch up. And it's like established critics who would, what's like the example you always use? You want to see a guy out fishing and, you know, sitting on his horse talking to himself for 20 minutes or something.
I want to see Rooney Mara eating yogurt, thinking about life.
Yeah. So it's like, no. That's why I can't wait for the Academy Award nominations to come out, because
I always tell people, like, because people gonna meet someone, like, they say, oh, you like, well, I'm like, look, it's not that I like every movie. I can just accept it. Like, if you present something and it's presented in an enjoyable way and I like it, then I feel like it was a successful movie. The point of being movies is either to learn or be entertained. If you pull off one of those two, good, you got me. And it can be done, but everyone just assumes it has to be done in one way. Like, no, I can watch The Godfather and watch Crank 2 back to back. And I like both of them for completely different reasons. Like, you know, like, Raging Bull is a much better movie than Venom. I'm sure I'll watch Venom way more times than I'll watch Raging Bull. Because it's just like, one is enjoyable and one is not. Like, sometimes you just want to watch a movie to have fun, and people are like, it's entertainment. It's like anything else, and people kind of lose track of that. Like, it has to be something else. What does the comic taking over the industry? What does that mean? It means that they're successful. That's what it means, and that's what people want to see. It, like, when we were making all these goddamn asteroid movies. Where were y'all then? Like, where were y'all in the 90s when Ashley Joe was making the same movie every damn year for like 6 years? When it wasn't her, it was John Travolta. Like, y'all really missed, like, I'll make the joke, y'all really missed The General's Daughter, huh? Like, those type of movies. Just watch Gone Girl again, or The Girl on the Train. Like, they still make them, or go watch it on Netflix. Like, the only movie that they really don't make anymore because of comic movies are movies like Armageddon and The Rock. Like, the big budget action movies, they don't really do anymore. Like, because between comic movies and Fast and Furious, it, like, basically took that over. Because they still do adventure movies, just The Rock.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise, when he does stuff like Mission Impossible, they still do those type of movies. They still do dramas. They still do comedies. They still do sports movies. So the only thing that is two movies, the big budget drama, like Disclosure, like Michael Douglas, this big ass budget where it's like this whole thing about sexual harassment and virtual reality. Like, no, you ain't gonna they're not doing those movies anymore, because it's like, that just seems, it's just, it was silly when they were doing it back then. You don't even think about it then. And like, yeah, the whole, we're gonna have 18 Academy Award nominees save the world from, like, you know, global warming.
Yep.
Nah, it's just gonna be The Rock that's gonna do it. Like, we don't need you, John Malkovich. Like, no, we're just gonna have The Rock and three other guys do that. Like, The Rock and Fast and Furious probably put a lot of people out of business, and Michael Bay doing Transformers, because he don't do those other movies anymore. So that's what changed. Everything else is the same. But critics make out like the comic movies are the death of the industry. How many of them come out a year? What, five? Six?
Yeah. Well, all right, here's the other thing though. People will blame comic movies for stuff. What they immediately disregard is the fact that there's a little guy named Harvey Weinstein that, besides being a piece of shit in general, he's also the guy that essentially created Oscar bait.
Mm-hmm.
These movies used to come out all the time, but now that you could get your self-congratulatory bullshit stuff, that he's the one that perfected it, so that all these movies only come out every once in a while.
They all come out like December.
Yeah, don't blame fucking Spider-Man and Batman, whatever else, because your own industry bought into this. And it's infuriating. So,
you could have stuff like this movie, The Mule, that could have came out in March.
Yes.
It's like, no, we need something. It's serious time, so we got to come out when it's cold and the old people are ready to go to the movies out these nasty-ass kids. It's the adult time, like Green Book and all this crap. Like, it all comes out the same time. It's all the same, based on maybe a true story, might have been a true story. It's either a period piece during World War II, a period piece during like the Victorian era, England, civil rights when a black person had to invent like electricity, and the white guy that was there telling the story how it made him feel, or some crap like that. Like, and it all comes around the same time and involves the same music. It usually involves the same people. It's like, oh, that's Timothy Chalamet, this little 18-year-old I never heard of. Like, I didn't know who this person was. It must be Oscar season. Oh, it's my old buddy Eddie Redmayne. I guess it's time for get another Oscar. He needs a new pool to be done. Oh, look, it's Colin Firth, my old friend. Yeah. Gary Oldman with makeup on. I haven't seen in a while. Uh-oh, is Viola Davis crying? It must be Oscar season. Like, it's the same damn thing every year. It is like, and people know it is, and they make fun of it, and yet we still do it. But if you want to do that, go ahead, have your fun. But don't get mad at me because, you know, you wanted Robert Downey Jr. to be Charlie Chaplin, and he'd rather be rich making Iron Man. That is not my fault. Like, and that is not his fault. That's the biggest thing. We could be having all these great, these generation of great actors. They'd rather be in green screens. Like, shut up. You don't see Chris Hemsworth when he's in nothing else. So if he want to keep doing Thor and he want to do Men in Black, did you see that trailer, by the way?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It doesn't look terrible, but it looks like Men in Black. And yeah, there's a reason they stopped making those, you know?
So, yeah, they got expensive. That's why. You know why they stopped making them? Because paying Will Smith $90 million was getting prohibitive. Yeah, that's why.
Part of the reason is they weren't very good either. Like
people still saw them. Hollywood never stopped making stuff because they stopped being good. They stopped making stuff when it stops making money. So Men in Black 3 made money. But no, it's kind of like, yeah, it's like when they do the stuff you want them to do and you don't go see it, you can't get mad when they do stuff that people want to see. Like, it's a lot of this whole thing, they don't make movies like that anymore. And then they make them and y'all don't see them. And then y'all get mad and it's like, oh, Tom Hardy could be doing so much, and he doing Venom. Venom made almost $900 million.
Yeah. And how much does he get kickback of that? So,
yeah, like, when he making the stuff that you say you want to see, you don't watch it. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I could be famous, but I'd be rich. I'm like, I'd rather be rich than famous any day of the week. Like, what are we talking about? Like, Hollywood's still about making money, and you need those movies that make money to fund the movies that don't make money. Like, you know, all those Daniel Day-Lewis movies and all those movies. What's the guy? Terrence Malick. Oh, it's Into the Wonders about the history of life and dinosaurs and might make $9 million. Well, you're going to need something to fund that crap. So you're going to need Kevin Hart, basically. Mm-hmm. You need those people. Like, it's a checks and balance thing. And I hate the fact that because it seems like once every 6 weeks we have this conversation, and it's always about these snarky ass critics, and they always look the same and they always talk the same, and it's just always like they don't even like the stuff they do. And I think we're both bothered by it. I guess we can wrap up soon. We're both bothered by it. Can we get enough of that in wrestling? And it's like almost everything I like has that same stink on it. Like, it's just covered by people who like don't really like it, or they mock and stuff like that. I'm like, if that's your job, especially if you got a high paying job, imagine you're a critic or like a sports editor, anything like that, and you sending your kids to college just talking about what other people do, you can show more respect than just calling them bums or acting like you're above it all. Do not act like John Cusack when you ain't John Cusack, basically.
Another guy, what a fall. which will be for another show topic the one time. So, the critic stuff, yeah, especially with the wrestling, especially. Oh boy. Oh, and I know we're gonna wrap the show. This has nothing to do with it, but did you see that New Japan is coming back in January to the States?
Mm-mm.
Either did I until Saturday, and they're coming to two places only: Los Angeles and Charlotte.
Charlotte.
What a weird, weird combo. So I was like, wait, what? So I went and looked. Yeah, they're coming to the Grady Cole Center. So, of course, I hurried up and bought tickets, thank God. Because it's already sold
that's
out.
That's what Jarrett was talking about.
That's where I saw it from. Yes. I was like, what? So, yeah. So I've got, like, third row, fourth row seats for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I don't even know what the card is. Because it's after Wrestle Kingdom, so who the hell knows who's actually going to be in it. But what a strange thing. L.A., I get it, because Japan to L.A. But Charlotte? Like, huh? So
that is definitely weird. Like, I know Charlotte's a hotbed for wrestling, like, traditional-wise. Like, Jim Crockett, NWA, yada, yada, yada. But Charlotte, New Japan just does, like, I wouldn't think of the two. I would think, if not West Coast, and like, New York or something like that.
That was the first thing I thought of. Yeah. Was New York, right? And
yeah, New York or like New York, maybe Philly, but some like one of those two, like the Northeast. I definitely would not have thought Charlotte, but if you're gonna do anywhere in the South, Charlotte makes sense. It's just weird, just thinking, you know, yeah. Charlotte. Yeah, but no, it's just like we just so damn spoiled because we got to see Aquaman, we got to see people riding on like battle seahorses and sharks, and it didn't look goofy, it looked badass and fun. And I got to see Transformers, and like we get to see all this stuff, and we get in this, you know, Avengers Endgame, they say maybe 3 hours, and just all this greatness, and all people do is just complain. Like, what are you complaining about? Like, we have more entertainment, and it's easy to get the entertainment than it's ever been in my life. I can watch almost anything. Any sport, I can watch it online. If there's a will, there's a way. Wrestling, it's movies, TV. It's so much easier to just watch all this great stuff. You have it at your fingertips. And people are like, Mr. Good Old Days, when it was like three channels. It's like it's a reason why the 18 was had great ratings, because nothing else was on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so
yeah, like, you know, like it's real. Everybody watched MASH. I guess they did. What else were they gonna do? Play? Go outside? I mean, nothing wrong with going outside, but it's kind of like you just have all these opportunities, like all this stuff I can do that I couldn't do before. I'm just talking about entertainment, like as far as just watching stuff and talking about stuff and everything. We basically became friends because you like wrestling, I like wrestling. We happen to be on this wrestling message board. You did a show, I listened to the show, I talked to you. Somehow that led to me flying to North Carolina to be at your wedding.
Yeah.
Based solely because you're a wrestling fan and I'm a wrestling fan. Same, like, a lot of my friends happen, like, on, like, me and Cam, same way. Oh, he liked wrestling, I like wrestling. I happen to move in Texas. We happen to live, like, within an hour of each other. Like, that didn't happen in the 80s or, like, the 90s or like that. You know, your friends were, like, who you went to school with,
yeah,
or who was, like, in your neighborhood, or who you happen to work with that you didn't not can't stand, that you kind of tolerated. And now it's like, you know, you can just do mutual, like, just have these great friendships, and you could talk about, like, we basically spend once a week, hopefully, just talking about stuff that we like, and people actually listen to it. It's people that just do that. That's just amazing. And it's just like, oh, I don't know, it's Aquaman, get a disembodied actor, you know, he even dyed his hair blonde. How come he didn't chop his hand off? You know, Amber Heard, she just there, but she's just a bimbo. She can't really, I wish they had good act, like, come on now. Like, what are we talking about?
Nobody like said why didn't they should cut his hand off. That's not an actual argument.
Come on.
Oh, my God. That was dumb to begin with.
If it had been really authentic, like the comics, they would have did that way, Jeremy, because they would have embraced the canon, but they didn't do that because it's half-assed. And Jason Momoa, he didn't really embrace the role. I just laughed the whole thing. I remember Gal Gadot talking about Wonder Woman when they got on her, talking about, you're not big enough. And she's like, well, if y'all really want me to be an Amazon, I'd burn my tit off. But I don't think anyone wants me to do that. That way I'll be a better soldier. But we're not doing that, so get out my face. And I laughed when she said that. But it's funny, like, you know what? Don't give these people any ideas.
My God. All right, yeah.
You know, how can you be an Amazon when you change your armpits? They didn't have razors back then. So they had lasso of truths, but, you know, you couldn't have grooming. Word? Okay.
Didn't some of their swords heat up as well?
Yes.
If I remember right? Okay. So, well, it's like...
I remember that was a controversy, too, and I'm like, what are we doing with our lives?
Well, one of the big things for me, though, was, like, once, and it goes to the crisis thing, and then we'll wrap up, but... In John Byrne's Man of Steel, he actually showed how Superman shaved. And to me, I never thought about it. It was like, okay, yeah, he just... You know, well, one, I was a kid. I was like, I don't even know you're supposed to yet. And then two, it's like, well, all right, now as an adult, like... That seemed to be like the start of, well, we have to show how all this stuff is practical and real. Well, okay, then explain how he can fly. And don't tell me he's Kryptonian, because that is, all right, cool, he has the ability, but how does he actually fly? You have no inertia, you have no, I mean, are you fighting gravity, are you doing this? And it's like, I don't give a shit. Just fly. If someone comes up to you and goes, hey, do you want the ability to fly? Sure. Or are you going to go, well, you have to explain to me how I do it and how it works, so in case someone asks, no, just do it.
Yeah, when you start to... try to explain stuff when we deal with fantasy, it just falls apart. And Batman and Iron Man, I'm like, Iron Man would die in that suit. Yes. The first time he landed, like, I don't care how much inertia dampers he in, moving that speed, he doing that 3-point landing, no. He's dead. The first time he make that sudden ass stop, I don't give a damn what is no physics to explain that. And Batman would have had, come on. Like, Batman is the most ridiculous. You know what? I don't even care. I'm going to rant about Batman. It's the most ridiculous concept. And I always laugh when people... Because I made my little joke about Batman on Twitter. Like, you know, Batman is like the worst of Elon Musk and J.J. Watt. And some people found it funny. Boy, do not talk about Batman, because people are real precious about Batman and J.J. Watt. Like, well, no, Elon Musk is an asshole, but Batman and J.J. Watt. Now, like, you got this billionaire orphan who, instead of going therapy, goes around the world to learn these different skills and comes back just to try to punch crime and submission wearing a bat suit. I don't want to hear it. Ain't nothing that you could tell me that make Batman deep knowing this back, like, nothing. And I hear people complain all the time, well, they did, Batman wouldn't kill and Batman wouldn't do this. I'm like, Batman started with a gun. What are you talking about? Like, Batman killed before. Batman in the movies killed in plenty of them, no matter which actor it was. Like, plenty of them got body counts. People get real. Like, I know people made a big deal about that last episode of Titans. It was kind of like a fever dream where Batman basically loses his mind because Riddler shoots Jason Todd, puts him in a wheelchair. The Joker tortures and kills Commissioner Gordon, and Alfred dies. So Batman's like, yeah, I ain't just beating up criminals anymore. I'm murdering them. Well, so Robin has to go back to Gotham. Like, it's explained at the end, but I know when they show the trailer for it, people are like, oh, this is just, Batman wouldn't do that. I'm like, Batman's a madman. Like, the whole idea of Batman, this whole thing, if I do enough push-ups, I can beat Superman in a fair fight. So that's how y'all be trying to sell me about this whole grit stuff. Like, you know, I work hard. Yeah, I know Michael Jordan is like this, but Larry Bird could outwork him. Like, no knucklehead ever sit down in real life, because it sounds like nonsense. But that's, you know what, that's why I don't like Batman. Because he's just every white stereotype and every Ayn Rand white supremacist, like, force of will and hard work and might against right will overcome any quote-unquote advantages. You notice Marvel never does that nonsense, like, you know, the Punisher could beat Wolverine, a fair one. You know why they don't do that? Because they know it sounds fucking stupid. there's a reason why the Punisher stays in the little leagues. But no Batman. Yeah, I know you're an apocalypse guy with your laser beams that can send back through time. But I got a batarang and a plan. I'll make it work.
No, he had to use a bat gun to kill him, which everyone ignores too. But we are out of time, so we can't get into that. Yeah, I'm leaving you on that one. So, thanks for listening, everybody. If you celebrate, Merry Christmas. If not, have fun. You're missing out because you get free stuff. So, we'll be back next week for another show. Hopefully talk about Bumblebee. And, I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi. And when you see a man riding a shark with lasers, just have fun with it. We are out.